Minnesota Reads on KUMD is supported with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This morning, our book has given me great pleasure because I've been able to email back and forth various people. Am I still having breakfast with Beatrice this morning? Oh, if I only was. Bea Ojakangas joins us on the phone this morning to talk about her newest book, Breakfast with Beatrice. And this is, no wonder I couldn't find my copy of this book. I hid it from myself because I didn't want anybody else to walk off with it. Bea, good morning, and thank you so much. Oh, my heavens, there's so many. Well, first of all, I'd like to eat everything in the book. And secondly, I'd like to bake at least half of the things in the book. Talk a little bit about where this idea of just a book of breakfast food came from.
Well, it's one of those things that when you're throwing ideas back and forth with people like editors, they come up with ideas and I come up with ideas, and between us we came up with breakfast, and they named it Breakfast with Beatrice. I wouldn't be that bold.
But, oh, man, I just keep thinking, you know, that, I guess the title makes you think about all of the family and friends that you must have entertained over the years. Are you a morning person when you have, you know, company or for family and friends? Do you get up and make breakfast? Or do you just, definitely. you don't just roll over and go, somebody bring me my coffee?
Right now, I feel like that's what I should do. But you know, over the years, I've always, you know, gotten up and quietly padded into the kitchen and turned something out. You know?
I'm telling you, you could do an entire book just on waffles. But there are all kinds of sweetbreads. So many are traditional, you know, of some kind. There's Swedish or Norwegian or Finnish or Danish. Do you search out these recipes from other Scandinavian countries? Is that something that is a part of something you do for fun?
Well, I guess maybe it is for fun, but I'm not really always searching. I come across something and I say, oh, wow, I'd like to do that. And so, you know, that's how it usually ends up coming. And, you know, so, and most of the ideas are that way. They're sort of like little surprises that you find along life's way, you know. And then I try to dig into it a little bit more, especially like the Danish things. I just remember these beautiful mornings in Danish country inns, and there'd be these lovely tables spread with real flaky kind of rich, buttery, rolls and everything, you know, not just Danish pastry, but all kinds of other things. But then, you know, I've enjoyed the ones that I've had in Finland, where things are very simple. It'd be a whole grain bread of some kind with some delicious kind of cheese, and that's as satisfying. And then sometimes I just crave a grainy kind of cooked cereal. I very seldom use dry cereals. But cooked cereals that are grainy are really, to me, a wonderful thing. So,
I just happen to think, as I'm paging through, and I've got like just barely enough fingers to bookmark all of these different pages, you've got rhubarb marmalade, you've got ginger rhubarb muffins with cinnamon sugar, and there's one more rhubarb recipe in here, page 69. I'm thinking about it because we're just at that point now. Oh, buttery berry squares. We're just at that part of the season right now where the rhubarb is moving from so sweet that you can eat it without, you can just grab it and eat it right out of the garden, to, yeah, it's there, but I got to add a little bit of sugar to it. So these things would be wonderful.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned rhubarb, because I have been really busy working on the rhubarb festival over the past years, and we're going to make the pie crust down at First Lutheran for the rhubarb pies that will be sold at the festival at the, you know, the last, I think it's the last Saturday of June.
Yep, it is.
And that is, it always is such a fun time. Regardless of the weather, I mean, it can be rainy and icky, or it can be sunny and bright, but it's always a nice big crowd that shows up.
It really is, and it's wonderful. And I think I had a rhubarb leaf that came in second one year.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, I was pretty pleased about at that. I'm pretty proud of myself. So,
yeah, and some of those leaves are amazing.
And, well, and the it's my family's rhubarb. I mean, it's descended from plants that my family first grew when they came to this country. And so something as simple as that, I kind of get the sense that that's a lot of what goes into this cookbook. It feels like, whether it is or not, that there are a lot of recipes that are either traditional recipes that people have passed down, or a recipe that it wouldn't, you know, that would be easy to put together, and yet this could be something that the kids would say, oh, Mom, oh, Dad, make that thing for breakfast that you make.
Yep, yep. And then there are some things that kids like to make themselves. Like we have friends whose kids love to make the light and crispy waffle. And when I was talking about doing the breakfast book, they said, oh, be sure and include the light and crispy waffles. It's one of the very first recipes in the book. And it was just kids about 5, 6 years old that were making these things, you know. They were just having a blast making the waffles and serving them to their grandparents, actually.
Oh, how lovely. Well, you know, as I'm looking through the table of contents, and the book, of course, is broken down into pancakes and waffles, and then casseroles and savories, pastries, coffee, cakes, that sort of thing, I notice that there isn't any kind of an indication for a kid-friendly recipe or a kid-simple recipe. Now, depending on how you train your kids, I'm guessing that your kids could probably make anything from the time that they were about 5. But wouldn't that be fun to either mark the recipes or maybe create a recipe book for kids?
Yeah, we could. But, you know, these are recipes that kids, I mean, when you look at especially the very first chapter in the book, Pancakes and Waffles, they're simple. And I think kids can use them. It doesn't put them down by saying, oh, this is an easy recipe to
right.
use for kids.
Sure.
And kids can pick this up and say, oh, I can do that.
Well, and I cooked it right out of the regular cookbook, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not anything that is, we're not talking down to kids at all. They can just pick this up and use it. As long as they can read.
You bet. Well, and you start off, of course, learning how to make a nice pancake and a nice waffle, and then you can move on to a krumkaka iron from there.
Oh, yeah, sure, for sure.
But
yeah.
That takes a little bit more doing. My dad and I practiced, and we'd fail a lot, and, of course, we'd have to eat our failures, but, yeah.
Well, that's okay, too. Yeah. Well, but I think kids learn that way. I mean, I've heard stories about chefs starting out with a pancake, you know, learning how to make a pancake. And then they learn how to make cookies. Then they learn how to make brownies. You know, they go on and on and on. And you just kind of make it a little bit more challenging. And then you taste as you go. And you get to know what tastes, you know, you like and so on. So that's part of the learning experience, too.
Oh,
growing.
And a pancake, you know, I mean, you can burn a pancake or you can undercook a pancake. So there's some skill involved in that. So when the kid turns out their first, or anybody turns out their first perfect pancake, you really feel like you did something.
Yep, yep, and you learn something too. You know, not just doing something, but it's learning, and you remember that. And especially when you're a kid, kids have a lot of space in their brains. And today, look, they can turn on or reprogram a computer, for heaven's sake. I can't do that.
so for them to learn to, a kid who can not only be tech savvy but make a good meal from scratch is going to be a Renaissance child, and they will go far.
Yep, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Beatrice, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. And I sure wish that we could do like a KUMD breakfast with Beatrice thing.
So that would be fun.
We'll work on that. In the meantime, again, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And thanks so much for this wonderful book of recipes.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the air. I appreciate that.
Bioja Kang is our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads. Her new book is called Breakfast with Beatrice. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.